Welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Today we're going to talk about staying centered and grounded, and there's a lot of different ways that we can approach this from our different areas of expertise, from the chakra system, from the meditation perspective, as a yoga teacher. I'm going to approach it from the most human position instead that I possibly can, as a practitioner with what I've seen with my client base, yes, but also as a human, a woman, in a body on planet Earth right now. It sounds familiar to a lot of my clearings when I do the thetas, many of you know. So welcome. Thanks for joining in. And speaking of theta, I'd like to welcome anyone who feels pulled to receive lightning clearings to check out my website and go to the services and go to the group Theta Healing and check that out, because it's at a 50% off rate, I guess is the word to use, and you can get clearings in the comfort of your own home. If you can make the call 9 to 10 on Tuesday nights Eastern time, cool. If not, I'm plugging into your field anyway, doing clearings for you, and then you get the recording within the next 24 hours, so or 48 sometimes. So it's really a great opportunity to lighten up and clear out the density, clear out where we have stuckness. And so an area that I'm touching upon today that is one that is so common that it's just a function of being alive, it seems like, and so therefore it's overlooked. And these are the kinds of areas that get cleared out with the Theta Healing, is the areas that we're just accommodating ourselves to getting by, to just doing this thing called life. And not necessarily at the highest level possible. In fact, just coping. And even beyond that, too, when we're successful in all the ways that it seems society standards deem success is, and even when we're self-identifying our success as opposed to coming off of societal standards of house, cars, jobs, employment, materialistic needs satisfied above and beyond basic needs, kids, marriage, family provided for successfully, happy, contributing to the community, all of that. But what are you doing with your thoughts? What are you doing on a moment-to-moment basis with your presence, with beyond your mind? And as I teach in every one of my yoga and meditation classes, what is that? If we can have the ability to pull ourselves off of our thoughts when we're meditating, what is that that we are using to go, oh, here I am, thinking again, I'm in thoughts again? And it could be reviewing the past, the morning, a meeting, the presentation we did, what something our spouse said, something our kids did, something we did as a parent was the best way to do it, reviewing whatever past, wondering if we said something right, the right way, if it got perceived the right way, or how could they think of me that way, or in the future, what am I going to do tonight? What am I going to eat? What is this job going to lead to? What is this project going to lead to? Am I going to meet the right person? Is this marriage going to be okay? Are my kids going to be okay? The projections into the future. You'll notice that our thoughts can never allow us to be in the present moment. The mind doesn't think about the present. When you sit and you appreciate a beautiful tree, as I'm looking at right now, on the Hillsborough River here in downtown Tampa, there's these beautiful pink blossoms on the tree. Am I using my mind to appreciate that? I may have used my vision, my sensory perception equipment, my sensory perceptual equipment to go tree to see and then to label tree. But what appreciated the beauty of it? A presence, an aliveness that's here now, you know? And we miss the beauty when we're in the mind. Frequently, it takes us out of the present moment, the mind does, and so we end up missing what our being, if we're just being, if we're being instead of doing as a human being, not a human doing, we miss so much. And so what is it that takes you out of your present moment? I have a surprise. I don't run this way. And so, I mean, I don't have a hard time conceiving of how other people think when they tell me, you know, it's not, I know the mind does all sorts of whacked stuff and produces all sorts of thoughts as far across the spectrum as possible. But the one that really surprises me is not wanting to be here. Not wanting to be in body. And it's not conscious. It's not like, I hate life, only that I'm talking about, because I'm not usually surrounded, and people, even if, I don't know, I mean, I there's a couple different ways to address this, right? My niece last year said to me, or actually it was 2 years ago, she's a sophomore now in college, she said, yeah, it's trendy right now in high school. Everybody has, like, you know, commentary about suicide attempts, and it's kind of like, you know, a trend. And beyond the abhorrence that could be the possible reaction, just receiving what she's saying, I could see what she was saying, because I had just left the classroom too. And there was something about the gothic that led into the suffering, that led into the cutting, that led into it being trendy to be emo, you know, or all of that. So where do the kids get that? Is it from us assigning ourselves roles based on lack of self-awareness and lack of self-attunement to what we really desire? Look at the name of this radio show, Create Your Best Life Ever. Create, not receive only, but create it, an act of creation, not an act of imposition, and that we're at the effect of, and that we are victims too, but that we are the creators of our lives, right? So, I don't know, like when people present to me, like they're not enthusiastic about life, they're kind of, let's say somebody just is getting divorced, and they can't believe what their life has become, and that the marriage ended up like this, and what's going to happen to the kids, and how's this divorce going to affect the kids, and that they're a failure, and they're sad because of the ending of something. You know, my response all the time when people have told me through the years that they are divorced or they are getting divorced has always been congratulations. Because I see it as an acknowledgement of something, and I see it as a new beginning. I'm not saying that I support divorce and I don't support marriage. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that there's a certain roteness and roboticness with which it seems like we're set up to go about life. And those of you who know my past, you know that I've lived in various places throughout the world, and I've traveled the world and written a book and have this radio show and have a great practice where I'm helping and contributing to people's lives and contributing to raising that overall vibration and consciousness, and just really look at life from a very different perspective. And I've said it on the show before, like even when talking about healing, you know, when dealing with like physical diagnoses or physical issues, the healing of it, like my surprise one day, I had only been back here for about a year, and coming out of a session with a client, and just really in the West's, and I mean, particularly America's energy of, let me treat at the physical level, and a client presenting me with a diagnosis from Western medicine and just the possible ways it was getting treated, and then them seeking me out and to help with energy healing and healing it at the core, and just coming from Asia for 10 years in an environment that acknowledges the soul or the spirit, however you want to term it, eternal life, past lives, karma, reincarnation in a way that we just do not here as of yet in the West, in a way that I don't know that we ever will, in the way that it is just absolutely the backdrop to being someone born and raised in the East. Why would we treat, when somebody is presenting a physical malady or the body not in perfect health or not in perfect functioning, why would we treat it at the physical level when that's only temporary instead of the eternal level? Right, so we go down to what Deepak Chopra calls, I think he has a sentence along the lines of, true healing always happens at the soul. Oh, for true healing to occur, it has to happen at the soul level, something along those lines, basically saying what I'm saying right now. And so it's like, do we have an acknowledgement of that in a kind of dysfunctional way where we hover above our bodies and we're either spaced out or we're just going about life robotically or we're checked out and we're not really checked in to the fact that we are making choices moment to moment on what we choose to say yes to having in our lives and what we choose to say no to? I mean, not even talking about victims. Not even going into, I am the victim to my life, I am the victim to abuse, I am a survivor of incest, I am a victim of rape, I am a victim of cancer, that happens to them. Moving, obviously, because that's not what we talk about on this radio show, acknowledging the creative force of our beings and the creative force of our thoughts, and that thoughts are things and they're measured and they have creative capacity. I mean, you could go back, read my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? The banner's at the top. There's ways to order it from the site. Go to Amazon.com. Look at the past shows where we talk about the science behind consciousness with different scientists who I quote in my book and who I have brought on the show. That's not what this show is about. We have talked about the creative capacity that we have. That's what this show is about. How do we create our best lives ever? And it seems like there's this mechanism when we live a life of, I am fulfilling my obligations. I am married. I have kids. I am raising them. I am doing this thing called life without a lot of thought to what we're creating, but that we're just kind of fulfilling others' expectations of how to live our lives. It seems like one of the most common default places people go to is checking out, hovering above their heads. So that their being, their spiritual force, their presence, whatever the word is that you want to use for it, is that presence that we use to pull ourselves off of our thoughts and back to the breath. To be here now, that was just me quoting myself in meditation. When we observe ourselves, oh, here I am, thinking, pull off of the thoughts and come back to the breath. And a couple of months back, there was a guided instructional show about meditation that gives instruction on how to meditate and actually guides you guys through a 30-minute meditation. It's not a guided, visualized meditation. It's actual meditation instruction like I do every week in my yoga meditation class. If you're interested, go there. But the capital O observer, who is that? What is that? That's that same presence that is what I'm talking about that can like hover above our heads, that doesn't really launch down and land down and ground down and populate our body. So the lower, here comes the chakras talk, the lower chakras will stay not circulating life force energy. And it's interesting and ironic. I don't believe a mistake. God knows that there are not mistakes with the incredible wisdom of the divine. It seems like whatever created our bodies, our adrenal glands are at the top of our kidneys, which is our sacral area, right? That's the second chakra. So if you go from our torso, from the perineum, or the area, let's say the area where you pee from, up, that area where you pee from, the perineum, that is the first root chakra. And if we're not rooted in our body, a lot of the time it's because we're holding some kind of unconscious and or subconscious belief that when I am in body on this planet, I get hurt. When I am in body on this planet, I feel too much pain and sorrow and there is too much suffering. So it's like we've elected, if you come from this paradigm of acknowledging that there is past lives, acknowledging that we're here, maybe not to learn lessons, but to expand and to grow in our creative capacity and create anew, create beyond that which we've ever created before in a lifetime before, you can see that the presence isn't grounded in the body. And so why be here? And it seems like there's a lot of behaviors that are totally acceptable and societal norms that are saying the same thing. Just go about life robotically. Pay the bills, get the obligations met, raise the kids, be so overwhelmed that you can't attend to your being, that you can't attend to self-nurturance, that you can't carve out the space to listen to yourself. And in fact, our culture, as my book goes into, doesn't value the self-reflection. It values productivity because we are more focused on the tangible here, or have been, and it's to our detriment at this point, which is why I do the work that I do at the level I do it, why I put a book out there, why I'm doing a radio show at the national and international level instead of just staying with the local practice, because I have the contrast of 10 years in Asia, and I wrote that book, my last of the 10 years in Asia. There is a different way to do things. I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that Asians are grounded and Americans aren't. Please don't let your mind make that kind of a leap. What I am saying is the way that why I'm out offering the information I'm offering is because there's another way. I have information as a Westerner moving to the East that even Easterners don't have because they don't have the Western perspective. And it's really interesting to me what we're doing with living on a day-to-day basis. How many people just talk about behaviors that are actually them checking out because they're not wanting to be here? And spacing out is an example of that. Being on our gadgets all the time is an example of that. Watching a lot of TV is an example of that. Not living isolated is an example of that. Keeping ourselves protected and not really connecting with even the family that we're living in the same household with, not really talking. And when we do talk, it's about rote, everyday kinds of things. All of this is an example of not really being grounded and feeling ourselves in our body. Just amazing to me that people do that in the way of not wanting to be here. And so what they create is illness that could take them out. Right? Remember the quote I've said before? When somebody presents cancer, ask the question, what are you dying to get out of? I mean, because if we're treating the eternal spirit, if that's what's here, and that's what the gray mist is, if you look at the Raymond Moody show I did, the scholar, I would say the world-renowned, and many others do too, the world-renowned scholar on near-death experience, and on even one who studied what happens when we die, he coined NDE, near-death experience, the phrase, and he talks about on the radio show that I did with him, a gray mist has been observed leaving the body when somebody is dying. There's a lot of new discoveries coming out, too, about what happens is the spirit leaves the body from the West perspective. Tibetan Buddhism, I find, is really informative. The Tibetan Book of the Dying, Tibetan Book of the Dead, rather, they talk about, like, the different stages. And I remember when I was living in Asia and I got the phone call that my mother had just passed. A friend of mine and I on the phone looked up in the Tibetan Book of the Dead what states she was going through and prayed to help her get carried through. And today is actually the fourth anniversary of my mother's death. Embodiment. How do we live in this body and create the lives that we desire? And anything and everything that's standing in the way of that, anything and everything, all of the conclusions, all of the hidden decisions and judgments and conclusions and computations we have about what it means to be in our lives. I feel like I'm supposed to do a clearing here. Let's destroy and uncreate. Time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. But what if there were nothing to clear? What's the title of my book? What if there's nothing wrong? What if we're here to grow and evolve and create beyond that which is anything we've ever created before as a soul? You know, I mean, what? And we're populating yet another physical human body. It's interesting, too, because some of the things that I've heard and experienced is that when we reincarnate in a new body, frequently the body will be the same height and shape that we populated before in another lifetime. There's been scars that have been identified as past life scars that go away once the past life trauma gets healed. There, you can do research on this there if you're interested. There's talk about when kids come in underneath 3 years old, and they have, younger than 3 years old is the way to say it, and they have hobbies or interests, that is a carryover from a past life. A really strong talent, a natural talent, is something we've done many lifetimes before. Not our habits, but our hobbies, the things that we like and enjoy the most, we've done many lifetimes before. So I almost want to ask, why would we dismiss that in the West? Because we're so focused on what? So why would we be here? Do we need to have a reason to be here? I do. I need to have meaning in my life. I can't imagine that this is all for naught. It's way too empty of a, and it just doesn't feel right. I've seen too much to tell me otherwise. And asking a neutral question and having no point of view, I mean, how or why would we just be here to just be here? Because how many people don't want to be here? So isn't that an indication? I mean, you guys know this universe. You have your own knowing. You know, I mean, everything just fits together so perfectly that there's a setup. There's got to be a setup involved, you know? So the adrenals, coming back to that, those are our source of Jing, which is the Chinese word for primal life force energy beyond qi. Qi we get more from our daily nutrition, our daily air intake, and daily energy levels are connected with qi. The Jing that is on the kidneys, or pardon me, in the adrenals, is what's considered translated to our ancestral supply of qi, of life force energy, primal. So it's something that the Chinese say, don't ever allow yourself to go into adrenal burnout, because it's really hard to get it back, because that amount supposedly is limited. Like, it's an amount that we're born with. And so the adrenals being down at the second chakra, if we're hovering above our heads, we're not populating the lower parts of our body. And so if you think about it, right, isn't sexual assault one reason why we wouldn't go down there with our soul or with our spirit or with our being, because we wouldn't want to experience the pain? That area has gotten violated before, so we don't want to go back in there, because if we populate that area with our precious being or spirit or soul, then we're going to feel the pain. Take out the sexual trauma or the sexual abuse and just think about if in a past life you've been killed before, which most of us, I would think, have. You know, think of King Arthur days, think of all the Hollywood movies of the Roman, what is that, with Russell Crowe, Gladiator, you know, the way that we used to be on the planet. A lot of barbaric killing used to happen, right? So, I mean, yeah, before, it's been really a lot of pain. It had potential to have a lot of pain and suffering on the planet. And so it seems like there's a conclusion that gets made by people that come in with it. I've seen, and I do this in my theta healing work a lot of the time when I go into theta, I'm clearing it. I would say like 90% of all of the theta healings I have ever done on a group without an agenda, without it being theta clearing for the root chakra or theta clearing for abundance, but when it's just like it is on Tuesday nights, a group of people listening and me going into their fields and seeing what needs to be cleared, I would say like 95% of the time I am clearing, I am safe. It is safe to be in this body. Life is full of pain and suffering. I'm getting them to the positives of all of those. It's just like people, the lives we've lived before this point have not been the comforts that we're living with now. It's a new time we're in, as you hear me say over and over again. So I'm not here to cheerlead you into your body. I'm here to just talk about, I don't want to use the word fascination. I don't know that I understand it. Because people make choices. I'm not typical, right? And so the typical choices are not to up and leave your country and live as an expat for 10 years. And I've lived as an expat for 6 months before and for 3 weeks before, but back in high school, my first time out as an exchange student. And even I've lived across the country many different places, and nothing I've ever done has been average in the way of the normal choice, quote unquote, normal choices that you see the majority of people making. I've never been in the majority. I've always been a pioneer. And so when I see people in their day-to-day lives, living their lives the way the majority lives their lives, there's a whole hell of a lot of mental noise that's asking them to check out. That's what I don't understand. Why would we take our lives for granted? I absolutely love the sensual. I love my toes in the mud. I love my fingers in the mud. I love clay, wet clay to mold it. I love dipping strawberries in chocolate. I love the taste of chocolate. I love the taste of passion fruit. I'm not trying, those of you who are receiving me with ego, I'm trying to provide contrast and genuine questions I'm asking right now, and trusting that it's serving the listeners who are attracted to listening to the show. So please know, this is not a position of ego. So I don't understand, like, why would somebody choose, like, oh, life is so hard, it's so heavy, because they don't think it can change, because they've been conditioned from the way that they grew up that life is solid, like the conditions, rather, in life are solid, that things aren't malleable, things aren't changeable. My understanding of consciousness is that what I just said a minute ago is, and even 10 seconds ago, I can change. You know, I'm in a new moment. I mean, every moment there's new life force energy pouring down into our crown chakras, ready to fill up our body, as long as we keep our chakra system open and aligned with the practice of what, yoga or qigong, for example, just two of the many different things we can do to have vital life force energy or chi or prana circulating throughout our body. But that's not what this show is about. I've done other shows about that. My book talks about that. I do workshops about that. This, the chi or the prana or the life force energy won't even move in the body unless we have a will force willing ourselves to be here. Now, to a degree, our body with the, God bless it, with the sympathetic nervous system is on automatic pilot. But even when I'm teaching the breathing of meditation in my Wednesday night yoga and meditation class, and people are like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having to learn how to breathe. I never breathe like that throughout the day. And I find it interesting that, check out this design. Like, how can anybody look at the human body and not believe in some greater intelligence? It's beyond me, really. And I don't normally use that phrase, it's beyond me. I mean, I usually, whatever. So, the idea that our body, the top of our lungs, when we're breathing, shallow breathing, like most of us do throughout our day to day, is hooked into the sympathetic nervous system, the activated fight or flight nervous system, right? Like, to keep us stimulated, to have energy to do. The parasympathetic nervous system, right? That's the one that calms us down when we're excited and calms us down when we're in adrenal tapping fight or flight syndrome. And so that parasympathetic nervous system gets activated when we're at the lower part of our lungs, when we go into deep breathing. So the breathing that I instruct with the meditation is diaphragmatic breathing, right? It's the same as when I instruct Qigong. The diaphragmatic breathing, where our bellies inflate like a balloon getting air in it, and then the chest inflates, and then the trachea neck inflates, and then as we're at the tip with our nostrils, this is nostril breathing, not mouth breathing, when we're at the tip of the peak, then we start the descension, the exhaling. And that takes our body out of sympathetic nervous system activation and into parasympathetic nervous system activation. Now look at that grand design. We have ways to calm ourselves down when we get excited in a way that's not necessarily desirable. So the breathing, the populating, it's all like one big cycle, you know? It's like, if you don't want to, if you're not really here, if you're more in your mind, if you're more in your thoughts, then you're not down in your body. And what do the thoughts do? The thoughts are the things that can tell us, I don't want to be here. Or instead of that direct, it's not usually showing up that way, right? Isn't it usually showing up as, like, let me just check out. This person really wants to interact with me. They're really asking me to be present with them, and I don't want to be that connected to another human being. It's not safe. I'll get hurt. So we just stay pulled back and kind of closed off. All of that happening unconsciously. So isn't all of this like the willingness to really be here and anything and everything that we use in our lives as our habits and what we might actually even fill our day-to-day life with unless we're actively choosing presence here, is actually set up to take us out of presence. So isn't it really we're talking about the question of how do we, as a spirit, as an infinite being, as Access Consciousness says, how do we, as a soul, an eternal being, populate this physical body? One of the questions that I ask frequently and others in my line of work ask is, what do you believe you are? Are you a body with a spirit, or a body with a soul? Or are you a soul or a spirit with a body? And another question along those same lines is, does your body fit into your spirit, or does your spirit fit into your body? But if we're busy being productive and adhering to societal standards to produce and have things out on the tangible level, bought, displayed, playing with gadgets, getting the latest thing that our wonderful marketing and advertising industry gets us hooked into that we need in order to be happy, then we're not going to have the kind of attunement to observing ourselves or our thinking or life at this intimate of a level. And in fact, we're going to cynically, flippantly label it as, oh, that's deep. Really? Or is it just a tool to live a happier life? Why are so many cases of cancer coming up over the past decade or so, when it was AIDS in the 80s? Isn't cancer just another acceptable way of checking out? Again, asking the question, what is it that you're dying to get out of? You know, when any bodily pain happens, aren't we asking the pain, what are you telling me, body? What am I not aware of that I need to be aware of? And if we just deal with it at the physical level, then we're not growing in a way, expanding, learning more, being different. So one of the things that I've come to say that I'm actually hearing others say now is that level of uncomfortable, I don't mean like you're have an itch. Well, it can show up as an itch. I don't mean like your lower back hurts. I mean like uncomfortable in the way that this is new, or I'm kind of getting you a little bit jumpy, or I'm making you a little edgy. You're not totally comfortable hearing this. If you're even still listening, if you are a little bit uncomfortable, a lot of people wouldn't even come near this show if they're totally living in the other paradigm, completely locked into this physical, tangible reality as what is real and only what is real. And then others, you know, asking new questions in their lives and looking for more authenticness and more meaning and more happiness and more peace of mind, plugging out of the physical a bit, looking towards yoga and meditation teachers and I'm going to use the phrase spiritual guide, and I don't know why. You know, people doing work in consciousness, people like me, they would look too for information, so they're listening to some of it. But some of it, this new way of looking at life can get uncomfortable, and that nudgy kind of, I'm pushing my out of my comfort zone. This is going to take me out of my comfort zone, out of my habits, out of what I have gotten accustomed to doing. And they'll frequently stop listening. Right? So we can only hear what we're ready to hear. That level of discomfort, though, is actually a great thing, because it's an indication that we're expanding, that something beyond which we've already been and thought and done and experienced is emerging. Otherwise, you'd be comfortable. So it feels to me like one of the things I'm getting around to saying is that in order to live a life that's happy, that's joyous, that's meaningful, there has to be meaning in it, right? To keep us there. And another thing that seems to be being said here in a means of reviewing is it seems like there's hidden conclusions, hidden beliefs at the subconscious and unconscious level from past experiences in past lives that are about it not being safe or not being comfortable in the body on planet Earth. And so watch out. Don't get too comfortable in the body. Stay above, hovering above the body, and only check in mildly. So only kind of here. And those people don't tend to be extroverted. right? You guys know what I'm saying. I can feel it. So one of the ways, how do we deal with that then? Do I make suggestions here on how to stay grounded and how to stay centered? Because that's what we're talking about. How do we ground in our bodies? And I already am making suggestions. Yeah, is look at things from an eternal perspective, it seems like, and not put the value in the physical and not put the value on the thoughts. Allison, I know that already. Okay. But did you know it from this perspective? Like, did you know it from this feeling, from this tone? Did you know that this is, in fact, what would cause us to go out of our body? And I mean, just simply spacing out, too. I mean, that's a way of not being here. What happens if you're single, for example? Somebody comes up to you with a smile. Do you play the cat and mouse game of kind of nodding your head and walking away and dismissing them to make them chase after you? Are you in your body? I would suggest that you're in your thoughts, right? Because that's an ego game, cat and mouse. Ego identity based, which is all based on this physical reality and the societal standards. And so if we're making choices from societal standards, typically that's an ego mind personality identity level of choice. So it seems like that can lead to feeling empty. It seems like that's an obnoxious answer for some people, because why, and maybe I've said this before and in my book, is it that cynicism that people have about spirituality when we say, what is the term here, woo-woo, when we dismiss something as woo-woo, or if we're talking about something and we want to kind of lighten it up for others that might not be there yet, will say, oh, I know that sounds woo-woo. I see it all the time. Very interesting to me. Is that dismissing of it? Is the lowering of the significance of what we're saying, or the meaningfulness of what we're saying, or the lightness that gets offered from that awareness needing to be dismissed because the mind is aware of other minds judging it and evaluating it? Because the mind is not the spirit. The mind is not the eternal source. The mind is something physical that helps us navigate the physical plane, the linear plane. And all of this is really important right now to be talking about, because we're in this brand new time on the planet now where it's like we're learning how to be in our bodies as spirits instead of looking to heaven as that time. We're undoing a lot of the historical teachings from organized religion, because we're moving into, we have already December 21st, 2012 marked this, right? Those of you who are regular listeners and readers of my book have heard this. The spiritual awakening of humanity is what that galactic alignment offered and signified, and the sky, the impact of the way the planets align, the magnetic pull from certain planets, and the whatever gases and minerals make up each planet, like a crystal. If you hold an agate, or you hold a piece of jasper, or tourmaline, like the heavy rocks, and then you hold a piece of quartz crystal that's in all batteries, you feel the difference. One's light, and one's heavier, one's more dense, one's more earthly, and one's more feeling almost like angelic, or the ethers, or the heavens, right? So in this time we're in right now, it's like, it's not where we're any longer saying, when I go down on that earth plane, it's this crude, gross level of physicality, and I need to go to church or temple or however to connect up and out of my body, out of the top of my head, the crown chakra, to the heavens. But I can't have the heavens here on earth, right? No. It seems like what we're talking about now is learning how to do that in this new era of spiritual awakening. So how do we, for the first time ever as a human race, maybe not the first time ever, but this is the first era that has all of this unique configuration that it has, but maybe in the very, very, very beginning societies that it was like this. I don't know. Right? And then, I don't know, you look at the evolution of humankind. This is meant to be a huge time in the evolution of humankind, like a massive leap forward. So we've had, as my book goes into, quantum physics out for about 100 years, and it's still not even in the textbooks for physics at the mainstream public school level. It's still not out there impacting our society in a full way yet. It's getting more and more there. But the idea that in 1905, when a scientist was looking at something he was observing in the laboratory, that thing had a reaction according to his expectations, and he realized that, and then out of that came the observer effect, that nothing is disconnected from us, that we affect things with our thoughts. So that means that there's no ability to objectively observe something physical, and that there's separation, and that when we're on the physical, we have separation. It's interesting to me, going over now to this in humans, we, because of our sciences not embracing at the mainstream level and being written into our policies at the federal, state, and local levels and in the values of our society, whereas they are, if you live, and again, my book goes into this really thoroughly, if you live in an Eastern society, you can see the values of reincarnation. You can see the values of the hidden, of the subtle energy written into the way, the unspoken rules of how society acts and how people conduct themselves, whereas here, it's the valuing of what's physical that's written into our societal norms and the way to interact with people, right? So why do I say that? Because that goes back to the woo-woo dismissive comment that seems to need to be said when people are starting to go into that quote-unquote being deep area. Why are we okay with organized religion, but we're not okay with getting in touch with our spirit, soul, being, whatever we want to call it? Why is there cynicism about anything beyond the physical? Because we'll be thought crazy? Because we'll be shown that that's not valid? Is that what our society has done historically in the West? Is dismiss people who had a sense of what was contained in the invisible? Whereas across the planet, and for those of you listening from over there, half of the planet, the Eastern Hemisphere, values the invisible more than the visible. Yeah, it's just a matter of perspective. Oh, that freed up a lot of people. I can feel it. Yeah. We are being asked to live in an entirely new way now. And we are, from what I know and have experienced and studied, is we are bigger than our physical body, our soul, our spirit, our being, whatever. And that is where I go to be able to pull forth creation. That is where I consult to be able to understand how to make a certain choice. That is where my intuition is, and it's connected to something much bigger than me that has the non-myopic view of my mind. So it seems like we could do, you guys want a bottom line, you want the bullet list, right? So it seems like one of the bottom lines that's being said here is in order to want to be here, you got to be ready to make choices to live a life of meaning. So how does that work when somebody's feeling the gray, dull energy of depression, right? Because you don't have the motivation to then really have meaning in your life. It's just everything's covered by that gray, dull cloud. So one of the ways is to take a meditation class, listen to the meditation show, deal with the thoughts in a way of observing them, and just really start to look at the habitual trains of thought your mind goes down. And know that you're not your thoughts. That is one of the most freeing awarenesses that I have seen countless humans at this point make. And the second most freeing one that I think is out there is then, do I choose to expand, to be more, to free myself up more and have less limitation based on this new awareness that I am not my thoughts, and so therefore I'm not ruled by my mind, and so therefore my freedom of choice is much more freed up. So one of the places for the bottom line that I'm directing you to clearly is working with your mind. Because, we're more than our minds. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to observe our thoughts. Gray mist leaves the body when we pass. I gave the examples of people being born and sometimes you can see past life indications in ways that you can see it. So knowing that you're more than your thoughts, the thoughts are what produce the depressive energy, right? Mind-body connection. My book goes entirely into that. So if you have certain I don't like my life thoughts, then that suppresses the flow of energy, your life force energy, from distributing throughout the body because it impacts certain chakras. So the energy shuts down in that area. So then you start having a more sluggish energy stemmed from not one thought, one time, not the same thought for one day, not the same thought for a week, but over and over and over again, and then with an element of belief, meaning belief like you can't get out of it. Like then fear and emotion start to come in. That's when the body can shift into carrying a new energy pattern. So go to the source, go to the energy, go to an energy medicine practitioner like me. If you need help to get out of it, depression is one of the quickest listed aspects that I deal with that my clients present to me. You can also just observe your thoughts, and you could journal how many depressing thoughts you have. I mean, I don't want you to sit there in meditation and count, because then it's giving your mind another assignment, and then it just gets to be busy, which it loves to do, so you don't get to go into that expansive energy as much as if you didn't have a secondary task assigned of counting. What I used to have my students do in meditation class that was in my AP Psych class, and when I taught a global meditation class global psychology class, rather, to sophomores and juniors and seniors, was after they came out of meditation, what was the mood of their mind? What was the overall tone of their mind? Was it a self-defeatist voice, or was it a voice of self-deprecation? Was it a complaining voice? Was it a groaning voice? Was it an angry voice? Was it a victim voice? Was it a blaming voice, which victim and blame go hand in hand? Like, what was the tone of their mind? And then after time, like after months of having these entries, looking back, you get a certain tone of your mind, you know? That's a big giveaway right there. So by knowing that, you can get a sense of, okay, so these are the thoughts that do not serve me. And then you could consult a practitioner, or you could then take the next step, whether it's tapping, which actually is called EFT, which I started and I used to do 15 years ago as a coach, and barely even use anymore, or it's do the theta healing with me, or it's your own affirmations. I'm not a big proponent of affirmations. I don't think that they work. There's other more effective tools to use. But even that awareness that, wow, my mind really thinks this way a lot, gives you freedom. And gives you back the power, the eternal you, that observing presence in you that can observe your thoughts. Because the bottom line is, you're the only one. And I know that some of you don't like hearing this, because it's you. We are each creating our own lives, you know? So it's us that can pull us out of where we are. We get this help out there. Another suggestion, one of the most common ones made for depressed people, because depression's main element is self-absorption, and that comes from thoughts, which is why I'm going to the thoughts. before it becomes an actual energy pattern in the body. And then the body starts to have a certain emotional tone of gray, failing, sluggishness, lower life force. One of the other ways to deal with it is to go and donate your time. Not because your mind is able to make conclusions, wow, there's people worse off than me, but because the act of giving lightens up your heart so much. And that means the heart chakra is able to feel the positive range of emotions and concepts or domains of life that each chakra deals with. The heart chakra is a unity consciousness. It's compassion. It's interconnection with everybody and everything. So by going and doing some kind of charitable work, we're able to feel that connection with those we're helping, rather than like write a donation, but actually go and interact with someone who needs something. And it doesn't have to be somebody less fall off than you. I mean, that, there's an element of superiority there. You know, I must give back. I mean, I don't know. Just go and be with other people and serve them in whatever way that you can contribute to them. And maybe it doesn't have to look like the more formal go to a soup kitchen and volunteer on Thanksgiving kind of thing. But maybe it's just in the grocery store. You smile at somebody who seems like they're looking down and they're depressed, or you let somebody in front of you in line who seems like they're busy. I mean, that gives your heart chakra a boost, pulling ourselves out of the self-absorption, because it's just a thought. No matter how frequently it's thought, it's just a thought. Watch a different movie. Play a different soundtrack. Get access to different thoughts. So change where you're getting your thoughts said from if you really want change. But that's the bottom line, right? Do we really want to be here? And only you can decide that. So my question to you is, why wouldn't you? There's so much to enjoy, you know? Dancing, drumming, feasting our eyes on beautiful birds soaring overhead in their freedom, gardening, our hands in the dirt, the sparkliness of the light of the incredible skies we've been having lately with all the eclipses, you know? Go somewhere beautiful. Go out in nature where it will inspire your eyes if you want to move out of questioning, like, do I really want to be here? You know? I mean, it's like, be here is the bottom line of this show. It's like, be here. But I can't make that choice for you. So, I mean, be here is really meaning be alive, be awake, be here in your life. Well, make different choices so that you can be more here. If you've compromised away your life, if you've compromised away your time, make new choices. It doesn't matter who you're going to disappoint. It doesn't matter. Because you're disappointing you. And then that, I would suggest, is probably part of the biggest contribution to, feeling like there's no, it can't change. When you just feel like you've disappointed yourself and you're not going to make any new choices. Make new choices. Stop disappointing yourself. I think another aspect of our society is that it feels like we're guaranteed a magic pill. And even with energy healing, like this is going to be magic for me. There is no, I mean, the power is you. And we know by now what happens. I mean, when you look at a drug ad, all the side effects that are on it, those aren't magic pills either, because of what else we have to deal with, right? The magic is you and your power, your eternal self's power, your observing self's power, your infinite being's power, your spirit's power that's connected to nature. So if we want to have more power from that level, let's go out into nature more. I don't know, like, just look at where you compromise away your aliveness. And sometimes we just need entertainment, right? I mean, we've been so alive and out there, we just want to be. still, and that's meditation or that's rest. So I'm not suggesting all the time be on and alive and awake. We do just sometimes want to just watch a movie, right? But when you're watching a movie, watch the movie. One of my teachers of meditation, Pema Chodron, she says, actually I think she's quoting Chogyam Trungpa of the Shambhala tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. When you're washing the dishes, wash the dishes. You know? Yeah. Much love, y'all. Have a great weekend. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.